Okay, so Big Bash is on July 1st.
July 1st is the Bash. Yep.
2017.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem is that we'll be in Pennsylvania most likely.
Well, freaking change it. It's a year away, woman.
Okay, I just marked the date on my calendar, Ewan.
Okay. You're going to be here then. No excuses. The man that comes up with the best lies ever on BTN can't excuse himself. Can you two shut up?
My kids are
Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stories in tech, despite the fact of the massive noise from my daughter who's here, so there's no swearing. And Muller who's here, so there probably will be swearing. So, there we go.
Not a few sounds,
We've had a bit of a meltdown. It's the last show before the Bash, because the Bash weekend starts tomorrow. We've got the Mac show here, and we've got five people who are definitely going to be on the panel, on the studio, in right here, ready to go tomorrow. But we've kind of suffered the lull of that tonight, because Mac Stock's taken a few people and who are travelling back, and also we've got a couple of people who... Charlotte's gone to the cricket for some reason. Charlotte Henry's supposed to be on here, but you're whispering still loud, guys. Charlotte Henry's gone to the cricket, and Terry Barish not checked his email all day, so he's not coming. But the two mainstays of the show, I'm surrounded by, first of all, Jeff Gamet.
You know, it's
the man
awesome
who normally lets us down, but not this week.
No, not this week.
Good man.
I am so totally here.
You are definitely here. There's no question you're here. I can see you.
I was first.
But which is a first.
Yeah.
And next to him as well, Melissa, fresh with a hangover. You've done the hangover of Macstock, and then you had your 12th anniversary last night, and you got a hangover from that as well as.
Yeah, and I still made it, so.
So have you been sober since last weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in between there.
Yeah, for like 30 minutes at breakfast.
Breakfast of champions.
Good girl. Well done. If you can't drink, go home. The week in tech, what's going on, what's been the big stuff? Elon Musk has said that there's a whole driver thing going on where actually autosave saved the passenger in New York, not reading the email for the bloke, because it was actually in DC. Well done, Elon.
Whoops.
PayPal has shafted me this week because, as you know, we get very kind donations from you guys via Patreon and that kind of stuff, and sometimes we're paid in dollars and sometimes we're paid in sterling, and the two accounts are separate in PayPal. But when I send money to someone who's in a dollars account, they somehow manage to send it from the sterling account and shaft me on the conversion rates. Bastards. Okay. And I'm pretty sure something else has happened, because we're not talking Pokemon Go, because the servers are crap and it's fallen over everywhere anyway, and everyone got bored when we talked about it last week. And I don't blame them, because I'm bored playing it, because I live in...
I wasn't bored.
I live in a Pokemon desert, mate.
Oh, that's too bad.
There was nothing here last week, and there's nothing here this week, and there's me not on Pokemon.
Wow.
I couldn't give a toss, so there we go.
You need to come visit me. All the Pokemon are here.
Yeah, and Pearl Street Mall, you know, just a couple minute walk from my place. We can sit outside a bar and just catch Pokemon and drink all day long.
Is that a gay thing, catch Pokemon?
You know,
that like a big ball that you catch your blokes in? No?
Yeah,
maybe if there's incense involved.
Yeah, I'm not judging. No, it's okay. Whatever your thing is. The week in tech, what's going on? What's been happening? Apparently there's Pokemon in Sellafield. Do they glow, Batwinch? You know I was going to say that, so you shouldn't have put that there, because I'm not one to fuel the nuclear debate. Have you guys got a story other than Pokemon? Jeffrey, you must start us off. I'd let ladies go first, but I know that Melissa has
Pokemon.
Yeah,
I'm not ready. Go.
So
I'm looking for something else.
That's me being chivalrous, but it doesn't look it. You know what I mean?
Good point.
Snowden.
Right, there you go. I just gave you a story. So
okay.
Snowden
so,
designs a device to warn if your phone's radios are snitching. Tell us more.
Right. Okay. So the deal is that Snowden, you know, the guy from all the NSA documents that were leaked, he is working on an iPhone case with someone else that monitors all of the radio activity on your iPhone. So you can use this case to tell if your iPhone is transmitting any data without your permission or express permission. Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, so it just monitors your traffic and then lets you know if your iPhone is essentially snitching on you. And the idea is, just because you put your iPhone or, well, any smartphone into airplane mode, it doesn't mean that it's really not transmitting anything. It just means it's not supposed to be transmitting anything. And so a device like this would let you know if your iPhone is transmitting when you expect it not to be. And I just thought this was an interesting story because it kind of underlies for me the distrust that's been growing the distrust that technology users have towards government and how that is actually growing and becoming a bigger thing. There was a time when I wouldn't have been able to think people would want to buy an accessory like this for their phone, but I can see where there's a growing market for it now.
I mean, the first question's got to be whether do you believe I mean, I don't think anyone disbelieves the snooping of the NSA on its own citizens in the US, but do you believe that a device can suspect that anyway?
I don't know. Okay. What I think is that a device can tell you if your smartphone radios are transmitting when you have explicitly told them not to.
But the
other
NSA,
than that, I don't think it could do very much.
Yeah, but I mean, differentiate between snooping, which actually was a passive catch rather than a proactive draw, and Pokemon Go, sending data out and using massive amounts of data that you didn't think you were using on your internet account, or Facebook running in the background and doing exactly the same thing and running up your data load. You know, this thing isn't catching snooping so much as just catching apps that are just hogging your bandwidth, surely.
That's probably very likely. But that said, when you rattled off all the apps that are being data hogs, I could see where this could actually be kind of handy for someone that's trying to figure out what it is that, or what apps are not playing fairly or properly on their devices. So I could see it as a troubleshooting tool also, but until I actually see something like this in action, my assumption is that it's not really doing everything that it's being advertised as right now.
This thing is like the ultimate tinfoil hat for your phone.
Yeah. It kind of looks like it.
That's what I feel, yeah.
Figuratively speaking.
I mean, what do you thinking, Melissa? Are you not tempted?
I just want to use my damn phone.
And you don't actually care because, you know, it's clients calling, it's family calling, and...
Yeah.
There's no
I have to eat my own dog food. I want to be able to use all the things. I'm not much of a tinfoil hat wearer. I mean, I like security, don't get me wrong. I like to feel secure, but I wouldn't use something like this.
The thing that always interests me with this kind of story, and it is probably the bigger talking point, is the fact the first paragraph starts off, when Edward Snowden met with reporters in Hong Kong, he famously asked them to put their phones in the fridge to block radio signals. And I think the editorial spin on stories about snooping is quite interesting. Those news outlets that want to put a tinfoil hat, to quote you, Melissa, on the process, and whether this article is designed to make Snowden look stupid or whether it's designed to raise real fears in the population. I think if you look at the way that all of the news outlets, Fox News, CNN, any of those, Sky, any of those kind of people, it's dead interesting to see what the first line is that comes out of their mouth, whether they're trying to promote the story or whether they're trying to debase the story to start with. I mean, what's the thought on that?
Everything's a negative. It's all spin.
Well, yeah, but it's not spin in the sense that spin is something that you do to promote your own story, whereas this is editorial control over whether they want you to perceive the story as being a positive or a negative for or against Edward Snowden. And I think reading that article from The Wire, from Wired.com, it makes me think that actually they want you to see him as a bit of a fruitcake. And then I'm starting to question, well, how much influence is there from the government in making Snowden look like a bit of a fruitcake?
To disqualify him or...
Yeah, discredit, yeah.
Discredit, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there's a conspiracy to discredit here. However, it wouldn't surprise me if there are people in various government positions that make phone calls occasionally to people that are writing articles and say, you know, it'd be really nice if this was the take you had. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, no, the reason that's made me think, it's a bit raw for me because I've been catching up on my podcasting while I've been driving this week. I listened to an episode of No Agenda, which, you know, occasionally I listen to, and sometimes I sit and think that they're a pair of morons, and sometimes I think, well, that's a really good point. And it's a real Marmite show for me. You know, I either love it or I hate every single one. And there was a point from Dvorak that was about a newsreader who read out a story about Trump who says, come the elections in November, when Donald Trump seizes power. And she said, when you win an election, that's not seizing power. That's a dictator taking over a country, seizing power. You know, Donald Trump wins the election in November. However bad that is for all of us and however we love or hate it, you know, he has won an election. There is a difference between winning an election and seizing power. And it just made me start looking back at paragraph one of every article that I read online and thinking, I should read more into paragraph one, because that's where they really flop out their editorial schlong. And you understand whether they're trying to debase the person or whether they're trying to promote the person. And I've done that far more. And as soon as you put that story in, Jeff, the first thing I went on to was putting their phones in the fridge. And I was like, that's a negative. That's a debasing comment. That's not a positive. And it's been underlined by The Wired as well in the article. But
oh, you're right. Oh, it's because it's a link to another piece.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, still, yeah.
Well, exactly.
It's highlighted.
But, you know, ask them to switch their phones off. Ask them to control their phones. You know, there's other ways of phrasing that rather than, oh, Snowden said put them in the fridge because that'll stop it. Jesus, we haven't been using lead-lined fridges since the 1950s, Edward. How technically savvy are you, man? Harrison Ford hit him.
Maybe
one of those
maybe we need
Jones.
One of those special cases for your fridge to make sure it's not letting out any signal.
Yeah, exactly.
Put maybe it in the fridge. He had a Faraday fridge.
Put the fridge in a box. Put the box into a car. Drive the car around the world.
How many of you raise your hand if you've actually been inside of a Faraday cage?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's a few buildings I've been in where I couldn't get a phone signal. Does that count? Because that should count. Editorial schlong is that the show title according to Bronwyn. Why did they get Brownwin? Bronwyn.
Brown
knows. Brian has stolen my iPad.
I think you need
iPad.
A t-shirt that says editorial schlong.
Editorial schlong. I control the editorial schlong.
Sounds like a position.
By the way, that was the name of my Kinks cover band.
Hand back the editorial schlong. Yeah, I need to get a t-shirt made tomorrow for Muller at the Bash, which says, click my links.
Sounds like you need a dongle.
Yeah, here we go. Back when she's saying, yes, the steel skeleton of most buildings acts like a Faraday cage. So have you got to know you're in the Faraday cage for it to be a Faraday? Is that like a Schrodinger's cat type thing? If you know you're in the Faraday cage, then you can't claim of being in the Faraday cage.
My husband's school acts like a Faraday cage. I can always tell where he is kind of sort of in the building by the texts, if they turn green or blue.
The first rule of Faraday Club is no one talks about Faraday Club.
Oh, we're breaking the rules right now, aren't we?
You still haven't told me the movie from in the pre-show.
No, I can't think
Do
of
it. Do it now. But Arnie doesn't actually say the line. There you go. See, that's Arnie, to give you a clue. But Arnie doesn't say the line. It's a French bloke on a tape recorder.
True Lies?
Yeah, good man. There we go.
It took me a while,
it took
but
you
I got
35
there.
Minutes, 40 minutes, never mind.
Way more awake than I am.
I didn't stop processing data until I got to that point.
Now, the other question is, who the hell's Bunny Huang? Because it sounds like a stripper.
It does.
Bunny Huang.
I hadn't even thought about that.
This is Edward Snowden and Bunny Huang's iPhone modification. She smells
That's
of peppermint, but damn, can she define an iPhone.
So, Well, his name's actually Andrew. So
it's a bloke, right?
Okay, now the story that's really lost here that I want more than are they making the case? How did Andrew Hang become Bunny?
Yeah.
What did he do? Is this like a sorority type thing where he's been inducted?
I don't know. I want to know how he became Bunny.
Is it like David Cameron shagging a pig?
Maybe it's like bunny ears, like on like the old TVs where you had just the bunny ears to get a good signal.
Thank you so much for injecting a bit of naivety into that.
That really
you know
was.
No way he did.
I try.
There was a loud squeal when it happened. It might have been bunnies or the other bunnies, but never mind. Jeff, is this, I want an answer from you here. Is this a real story? Is this just a piece of PR BS?
I think it's PR that they're hoping they can turn into a real thing. And I think what they're doing is playing off the paranoia that has been building over the past few years about government surveillance. So yeah, they're totally playing off people's emotions with this. And my guess is that if they make this for, you know, whatever smartphone model, that there will be a subset of people that will buy this thing and think that they have a magic security blanket protecting them from the man knowing what they're thinking or doing.
I can think of a bunch of people off the top of my head right now that I picture that are in privacy mode.
Yeah.
It would be those people.
I've got to say, one of the things that always bothers me is people go, I've got nothing to hide, so they can do whatever they want because I've got nothing to hide. No, they can't do whatever they want. There has to be an oversight. There has to be a control. There has to be a limit to what your government can do to you. But that said, this is a bit tinfoil for me.
I'm with you.
Muller's just put a picture of, he's taped my child to a gaffer tape my child to a chair, and he's put down Muller's babysitting technique, and I'm supposed to carry on with the show. Jesus. I'm not in the least worried. Based on the fact that he tried to chase your nose with her a couple of weeks, there she is. Got your nose a couple of weeks ago. And she chased him, and he fell over, broke two fingers, and spilled 15 quid's worth of beer.
Well, that'll teach him not to mess with her.
Don't pull my cord.
I mean, that is absolutely horrible. The beer.
He's got these, like, clippers.
Wait, go and play on your iPad.
He tried to get me with
them. I can edit, don't worry.
That's why you heard a high pitch.
Go and play on your iPad. I'm not doing this again. Get out of the room, the pair of you. Muller, put those down. Jesus Christ.
The only difference between the two is that Muller's old enough to legally drink.
Yeah, exactly, but he's still seven in the head. Melissa, have you got a story yet?
Well, I was going to piggyback on that. Evidently, there's a petition that's been launched recently about the asking Apple not to implement the patent to remotely disable the iPhone camera. You heard about this?
No,
go on. Remember a couple weeks ago? There was news that broke that Apple has a patent for basically being able to make the iPhone go into concert mode. Remember we were talking about that a while ago?
I think this is a good story for all providers, really, rather than just Apple necessarily on its own. But
yeah. But how do you feel about your cell phone, any kind of phone? How do you feel about the idea of being able to go anywhere, not just concerts, but anywhere, and have your camera be silenced?
I think the interesting thing here is that this takes my camera from being my camera, device, to being a licensed device. And Apple can tell me when I can and I can't use it. And that's a thin of a very big wedge that I'm not happy about.
You know, I think you need to replace Apple with government. Because that's the big concern I think a lot of people have. Well, can the government control when I'm recording?
Well, this is kind of like, you know, it's a flipped take on the story that you just posted, where that's a choice where you're actually, you know, this is a case that could be developed, or you could make a choice to buy a case and put your phone in it and essentially lock it yourself, whereas this is, you know, overreach of someone else controlling the camera in your phone, in any of your devices. I'm not just talking about Apple. I mean, this is just the start, but do you think that Apple patented this to prevent the patent from being accessed by other manufacturers?
You'd like to think that's a utopian view rather than them being dictatorial.
The gatekeeper of data collection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So one thing people need to know about this patent is that it's not something that if they choose to do something with it, that they can take the iPhones or the Android phones or whatever phones we have today and control when we can record. This is something that requires a physical hardware change to the device. So it would be something that Apple would have to choose to implement in a future iPhone model. And if other phone makers are going to do the same thing, then they would have to choose to implement this technology as well.
Jeff, what's the hardware change that they'd need rather than just software that disables?
There's a chip that handles the processing to figure out when the infrared data that's coming into the lens is the data that says you need to shut off, and then that disables the camera or the microphone. So this is not simply a software change. It requires a hardware change as well. So at that point, if you want a phone that can't be controlled in that way, then you just don't buy a new phone. And this seems to me to be a technology that we don't really need the petition to go along with, because it doesn't make sense for Apple to actually implement it, because then it becomes not a selling point for Apple's product, saying, hey, guess what? We can turn your camera off at a concert or at a riot. Instead, it becomes a thing where people are like, why would I ever want to buy a phone from Apple? Because the Samsung phones aren't going to get shut off when I need to actually use the camera.
Yeah. I don't know. I there's a bit of me, you know, there's a comment from Horse in the chat room who says, why don't they just have some kind of small EMP generator?
Yeah, and everyone with phones the face entirely, that drops dead.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work. But the thing I've got with this is the localization of the effect. You know, once they decide that that's where you're going to turn it off, then all of a sudden you've got policemen carrying devices which piggyback off it, which say, right, okay, I'm pulling my phone out, I'm recording you because I have a right to record you because we're in a public place, and you're doing the wrong thing, and I'm going to prove you're doing the wrong thing on YouTube and to your superiors afterwards. And they go, and damn, you know, your camera just shuts down. And that's not
okay. That's the problem that I have with it.
That's not okay.
Yeah,
that's the problem that I have with it. So I wonder, I don't know, it just seems like, you know, with the whole FBI thing, Apple seemed like they were on the side of the people. So I'm just wondering if maybe the patent is about them. Well, let's patent it so that no one else can use it, because we want people to be able to use their cameras whenever. Like, I see it the opposite way. I see it as a protection for us being able to protect our free speech, or whatever you want to label that, to be able to have the ability to video whenever we want.
And that's what this is doing? I don't see that. This is limitation. This is switching off. There's no about switching on.
Right. I think they're patenting it so that they can protect themselves from someone saying, you must implement something in your hardware that lets us send out magical fairies that turn off the camera when we see fit. I see it as like it could be a possible protection from
but
that.
But I can't see how having a patent for a device that does that would overrule a court order.
Because you get to it first. You protect the development of that hardware.
So you've got to bear in mind...
Don't you?
No. Your patent is something that is bestowed upon you by your local government, and which is why you've got to apply for localized patents across the world. And they are privileges that are given to you for your technical prowess. And just because you own something doesn't necessarily mean that your government can't take it away from you by court order. Yes, there might be a bit more of a convoluted route. There might not be a process whereby you have to you know, you can just order it by local court. It might have to go to Supreme Court in order to get that to happen. It might make it more difficult, but don't be fooled into the fact that, that if your government says that this is a threat to national security, we can take it away in an instant, whether you've got a patent or not. You don't hold that right. So that's not what patents is about.
Now, I could see Apple patenting something to make sure no one else does whatever it is. And it would be really nice to think that Apple chose to patent this technology, never intending to actually use it, and then planning to use the patent to block other people from doing it as well.
However, I believe that they're patenting it to protect it.
Well, they could do that to stop BlackBerry doing it or Samsung doing it or anyone else, but they can't do it to stop a government doing it. That's not what patents do.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And as much as I would like to think this is an altruistic move on Apple's part, my guess is that they're doing this because they think it will be a really cool selling point for the device, and it will make the music industry much happier and artists much happier when they can selectively block people from recording performances.
I think that's what
next to the little airplane mode on all new cell phones, you'll have a little camera with a line through it or something.
I think you'll enter a venue and your machine will effectively shut down. Your phone will stop, and that's what this is coming down to.
It'll be enforced concert mode.
If Apple are doing this egalitarian wise and from a higher utopian view, they're doing it to stop the music industry from shafting us. But Apple is so tied into the music industry that I don't think that even then, if that's what they wanted, I still don't think they could manage to do it. And the other thing that I had a thought the other day, you know, this whole thing about Apple taking away the earplug from the iPhone 7, it suddenly struck me, well, hang on a second, because that means then that the Lightning connector could end up passing a digital signal to an audio device. Therefore, what you've got is DHCP, but for audio. And then the music industry steps back in and goes, aha, sorry. No more passing around of free music because it's all DRM'd again. And if you haven't got the right audio device to listen to it, you can't have it at all. Because the one thing that's really pissed off the music industry is the fact that they have to go to analog to get it in your ears. And if they go to Lightning at the bottom of the iPhone cable, that means that they can go through a process which doesn't necessarily mean it's got to go to analog. And that's a real issue for them. That's where my tinfoil hat's coming on.
I so hope you're wrong, Ewan.
Well, but tell me
that now that you're saying it, I'm really worried.
Watch out for Lightning being the pass-through for audio to an audio device, and then all of a sudden all of those being outlawed, and it's DHCP control, DHCP-like control for audio. Mark my words. I've got horse quivering. I don't know if that's because of the fact that he's excited. if his fetlocks are quivering because I've said something cool, or whether he thinks that I'm actually right. But I think I could be right. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, but the other thing that bothers me about this kind of stuff is you've got someone in row H who's holding up an iPhone and probably actually has turned it towards the front-facing camera and turned around. So that, I mean, I did the British Tech Network card cutting championships today, and I'd use the front-facing camera. The quality's dog shit. I mean, it is awful. It's a friggin' awful front-facing camera at 2 megapixels. And most of these people, it's just an 8 megapixel camera if you're doing the long-range stuff. And if you zoom in, it's digital zoom. It's not optical zoom. And you go, oh, bugger me.
Mm-hmm.
But then, if we get the optical zoom that they're talking about on 7, potentially, then all right, maybe. But I just think, well, you're trying to solve a problem. You know, this is a sledgehammer to crack a walnut.
No? Yeah, I agree.
You mean trying to control the concert goers?
Concert goers back in row H are going to get absolutely sod all. There's an interesting thing, because in the story that you've picked there on 95 Mac, Melissa, there's a load of people holding up phones with real shitter vision on it, and then there's one person who's actually got a tiny compact with super zoom who's probably on optical only and probably getting the best pick out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you've got to control, right. And you're not going to control it with a petition against patent against cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's just the audio, but the audio is pretty crap as well. I remember we were at Macworld a couple of years ago, and Paul Wheatley sat down and he actually videotaped my whole session. And I've never published it. I've gone by their guidelines. I just wanted to have a copy of it for myself so I knew what I said. And when I tried to videotape his, they said, oh, no, you can't videotape it. And a guy did an audio gathering of what Paul said. I said, could I have a copy of that? Would you mind emailing it to me? And he emailed it over. Good as gold. Thanks very much. But actually, you know, it was pretty poor. So in terms of music, what you're going to get is going to be pretty naff anyway. So why go to these kind of levels?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think let the people enjoy their concerts however way they see fit as far as documentation. I don't think people are trying to bootleg things per se and scrape things because the quality is crap.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember the thing as well where people would go to like a family party, and part of that family party was to have the muck meal in the cinema, and then they go and watch a film, and someone would video a little bit of the kids having fun in the cinema, but you could hear the audio of the movie in the background, and then they put it up on YouTube, and then all of a sudden there'd be a DMC takedown because there was some audio from the movie in it that was recognised.
Oh, that's happened to me several times where I've posted video online of my kids dancing to a song or something, and then I've gotten a little note saying that there was content that
which is fair enough, but if the intent of what you... I mean, the one thing I've successfully defended is when I've said, no, the intent of this video is not to show that content. It's not to... I mean, there's a picture of my kids doing Gangnam, and it fades into the actual music that I've downloaded, and I've got no problem with that. You know, they should have the money from that. It's a Gangnam view, no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no problem with it. I mean, I've posted videos before where then they've posted a link to the song to go buy it that was playing in the background. I don't care about that. My intent, like you said, my intent was not to rip off music or anything. It was just we were just having fun singing some songs, just like the pic that I'm. I should. I don't know if you want to wait for that, but the pic that I put in the chat room of Michelle Obama singing, you know, that's a guy who makes his living or it's his shtick to go around in cars singing with people. And how did they get the licensing for those songs?
Because they paid them.
Okay. Yeah, they actually go to the studios and they pay for licensing.
Yeah. So that's all on the up and up.
The songs.
Oh, yeah. It's like a PRS music license that you get for shops in the UK. So public rights, you'll get a PRS for that, and they will pay per play based on that probably. But because the shows, I think it's kind of like electricity. So if you go like to your house, you've got a meter in your house that you pay for, and every time you use a bit of electricity, the meter clocks over, and you pay for the electricity that you use. Well, if you're say a swimming pool. Or you know, a swimming facility or something like that, that pays for water heating, pays for pumps and all that kind of stuff. In the UK, you'd end up as an unmetered service. So basically, they charge you a flat fee based on what they think you're going to use. And if you don't use it, tough, because you're still going to pay that amount. And I would lay money that... who does the Late Late Show? Is that CBS or...?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of...
Like, whoever it is, I guarantee you they're paying a flat fee on rights for that kind of stuff. And the BBC's the same. They probably and they might even pay actual rights. So when every time they play, they get a play off the internet. There's a rights payment that goes on from that.
But they're capitalizing something we all like to do, which is sing in the car, you know, or sing in the shower, or sing when the kids are playing. Yeah, you know, it's just a fun activity that we like to do.
I think the one thing that people don't get, and I've maybe it's because of the job that I do, I understand this a little bit more, is the economy of scale of your exposure. So you're talking about me broadcasting the big show. So 15,000 people are going to listen to this show. I do the Max show tomorrow. 20 to 25,000 people are going to watch that. And you're kind of like, well, that's a lot of people. It's nothing. It's zero in comparison to people that are A-list movie stars. And you look at Twitter is the best example, if you like, of the economy of scale of people. Because... You'll get, you know, 1,800 followers is great. It's a lot of people. If I say to people, I've got 1,800 followers, they go, wow, that's a lot of followers. It's nothing. You know, Piers Morgan, who's a shit journalist in the UK, has got 4 million. And you get up to the Bieber levels and the Lady Gaga levels and that kind of stuff. You're talking 20 million followers on Twitter. And there is the scale of these people. So you're talking about the first lady. You know, what's her following? On, and this thing's been up. I mean, it was broadcast on Wednesday. It's not even been up for 24 hours yet. And it's
got millions of
2.5 million views. Mm-hmm. that's the economy of scale. You know, so the amount that you're talking about in those people that have seen this is huge. So the artists that are exposing that, I know Beyonce did the old thing in this. I mean, Beyonce's bank balance is a lot richer this morning thanks to James Corden and the Late Late Show. And the, like I said, the scale that goes along with that and the money that goes along with that is immense. And I think that people really struggle with the, you know, with that leap from one to the other. I used to do adverts for Pretty Polly. I used to do the photography for it. And you sit and think, wow, that's great. Pretty Polly was a brand that was only in the UK that never really got outside. I don't believe any of my shots ever got outside the UK. At best, 1 million people looked at my image. And that's nothing in comparison to a global economy. Not even close.
Oh, no.
Good story. Good story. I think it's dead interesting to talk about what your rights are with your device and whether you're licensing the device or whether you own the device. Because once you've got a functionality that they then take away from you, I think there's got to be some serious questions about, well, what did I buy?
Mm-hmm.
What did I buy?
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because it seemed like, you know, you've got devices that people want to have and then lock them down themselves. And then you've got devices where your rights are kind of being threatened that you can't do things with. So there's choice, and there's choice being taken away.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating.
Definitely. My story is not an interesting one. It's about government's influence on social media. So last week, not for the first time, because we did a report on this last year, and Dwayne Fonseca, if you're listening, mate, thank you for the heads up on this. He's one of our listeners in Brazil. A judge in Brazil, using a court case, has blocked WhatsApp until today. And fortunately today, they've managed to, Brazil has got WhatsApp back. But they're a month out from the Olympic Games, and a judge says you can't have WhatsApp anymore.
Oh my.
Which has got to be kind of, I'm glad it's back so quickly, because I think this is only like a 48-hour thing that this has gone on with. But
Wasn't it another court said, no, can't do that. Yeah. You have to give people WhatsApp.
Yeah, no, so, but this isn't the first time. We reported on this last year, and we've reported on this several times, and it's happened several times. I got a tweet from Dwayne this morning, and he said this isn't the first time. They've had 3 or 4 times in the last year where judges have said, no, WhatsApp's got to go, and there's been a temporary suspension of it, and then it's come back. The question first is how stupid is Brazil with a month to go to the Olympics? You ban social media. Yeah, bad news. Really silly move.
Don't they do that in China? How's that working out for them?
And the other thing then is got to be the question of, you know, look at Turkey at the moment in turmoil. And the first thing it does is like, bang, you know, social media disappears for 24 hours while there's a coup going on. The question from me to us as a panel is what's the credibility and what's the rights of social media? Is this, you know, how fundamental is a right is it? Because I know it's not fundamental as a right like a utility or something like that, but it's interesting that what your government can do to take away social media from you.
It's scary, yeah. Is what it is. It's terrifying.
So you have to figure out. Excuse me. Well, the government needs to figure out if a social media platform qualifies as free speech, or since it's something that a private company is doing, is it just a service? And then as such, the service can be regulated, controlled, shut down, whatever. And my guess is that a lot of governments, they're not concerned with that right now. Their big concern is what message is getting out, and if they think it's the wrong message, then they will shut down the social media service. And Turkey's a perfect example. They started a coup and wanted to control the message, so they shut down social media. Of course, in retrospect, now that it looks like it was an inside job just to set up a potential dictatorship, well, having social media up and running and then manipulating it would have been far more powerful for Turkey than simply shutting it down.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get into the politics of the fact that Turkey might be the first Islamic state in NATO, but I'm boring Mueller, by the way. He's not yawning like Billy over here. What I'm saying is, you know, this idea of I think governments are scared. I think they're genuinely scared that they've lost control over what people think and the discourse that people then have. And I think that nothing worries them more than Twitter. And I think sometimes it worries them for good reasons in the fact that Twitter... There was a guy tweeted out this week or today, the freedom of speech painting. I can't remember the name of the guy. Oh, bugger. But it's like it's in a juror room and it's got 11 blokes all crowded around a woman telling her what to think effectively. And that's what Twitter's like. And I've put down a few times that Twitter is like the Twitter brown shirts, not the Nazis, you know, not Twitter Nazis. They're like brown shirts. They go around indiscriminately beating the shit out of people who don't follow the party line on something. And I think government worries about that because that is a bad trend that needs to be controlled. But I think they also worry about the fact that they can't control what people think anymore, and they've been losing that grasp since the 60s with the newspapers, but now they're up to a stage where actually it's a free-for-all, and actually there's an awful lot of stuff out there that's absolute horseshit. You know, someone sticks a meme out with a word underneath it, and that word is complete bollocks. I mean, it's not even close to the truth. There was a thing last year that went round about the parliamentary debate on nuclear weapons or something. It showed a picture of 10 people, and then it showed parliamentary debate on MPs' wages, and it showed the entire house completely rammed full. And actually, that was actually a debate on something that for social change. It wasn't even close to being the debate on MPs' expenses and salaries and that kind of stuff. You know, but someone puts a meme out with a piece of BS underneath it, and that's the truth all of a sudden. I think we've got to be careful historically what we show.
That's true.
And people, when they are looking at this, whether it's online or a print thing, whatever, people need to remember that you need to do your own research. You need to figure out what's legit and what isn't. Taking
that's a big
a
problem
photograph
right there.
On
people
the internet
are not doing
as
that.
Gospel is a bad idea.
But a lot of people do.
At oh, yes.
My son does. My son comes back and tells me something's real, and lo and behold, it's BS. It's complete BS. It's not helped by the fact that he's got one of his teachers sits down and has a conversation each week and tells him something that's absolute rubbish. And I'm like, that's not the truth. It's like he
what
told,
kind of teacher is this?
Well, one week he told Ellis that all the banks are owned by five families. Right, okay. The next week he tells them that the US funded both sides during World War II. And then the following week he says that the Bank of England controls social media in the UK. And I said to Ellis, which family is it that owns the Bank of England? And he said, he didn't tell us that. No, because it's bollocks. It's complete and utter rubbish, Ellis. You know, don't listen to a word this man says to you. Whatever
that's
his politics
why it's so
are, he should leave him at the door.
Teach kids how to think for themselves. Teach
I'm
kids
I'm sure that's why
research.
He's doing it. Yes, Melissa.
Oh, yes. Wouldn't it be great if he was simply trying to teach students critical thinking skills?
Apparently, all the banks are actually owned by one family, according to Mueller, the Rothschilds. Is that including the Bank of England?
Yeah.
Well, that makes it easy.
Much easier. I got to say, actually, my cool thing this week, and it's not my cool thing, but I'm just going to say it anyway. My cool thing is Bette Midler's tweet about the Republican convention, because she said, "I see that everyone at the Republican convention has got neurovirus, which means I'm not the only person that's shitting myself if Donald Trump gets elected." Well done, Bette. Top job, missus.
That's awesome.
She's still got what it takes.
Yes, she does.
I totally would. Laugh at her. That's what I meant.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely bloody awesome. We've just renewed with them. I'm very, very proud to announce that this network is being supported by UK2 for another 12 months. That is
awesome.
Hang on, because this is the best bit. At the end of this period, they will have supported us for 10 years.
Wow.
We will have been around
okay, that's
for
10 years.
At that point. 10 years I've been podcasting next year. How ridiculous is that? Talking absolute crap for 10 years.
And people keep coming back for more.
We've had a few people as well that have given us donations this week as well. Thank you very much to those. And thank you so much to UK2. They are the backbone of us. They keep us in. We've got two servers with them. The first one does all of the live feeds, and you can get shows going back to the original 2008 period when we first started. You can also get random shows that, you know, shows that we don't even do anymore, the nonsense show, which, you know, there's a few of them out there that are absolute pearlers, pure gems, and the rest is, you know, don't get me wrong, but there's
just
a couple
nonsense
out there that are just nonsense. Yeah, absolutely, they were meant to be the underbelly of the internet, but there's a few. The girl that wanted big butt cheeks like Kim Kardashian and used tire filler instead, that's an absolute classic.
Oh my god.
It. Yeah. And there's the F1 show, which we haven't done for a few years, but Only Their Mothers Could Tell Them Apart is a series that's well worth watching, especially when you see Michael Schumacher and, what's her name? The girl that's the Canadian, that's the singer, that's the... Oh, I should have prepared.
Justin Bieber.
Pearl.
No, the woman that's...
Pearl's a singer.
Pearl's a singer, but she's not Canadian.
Oh.
She sang jazz when they played the piano.
What? Oh, Justin Bieber's Canadian.
Yeah, I know, but it's not her. She's not a woman. Celine Dion, there we go.
Really?
Celine Dion. Celine Dion and Michael Schumacher, that was one of the things.
Oh, thank you, because my brain was starting to hurt. I was like, was it?
And also, Nico Rosberg and Agnetha from ABBA as well. They're separated at birth. No question. And in fact, actually, there's a story in there that Nico Rosberg, the Mercedes team, actually stole his passport, put a picture of Agnetha on it instead of him, and he got through customs with it on.
That's awesome. Ago,
2008, that was, I think. 2009. We've been around for 10 years next year. Thanks to UK2 for looking after us, because you guys look after them. They're superb. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you get all the offer codes. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and sign into your account. And also go to britishtechnetwork.com or on Twitter, just type in @britishtech and put @UK2. We fudging love you guys. Thank you for supporting British Tech. Do it now. Do it right now. Stop the car. Do it right now. There we go. And also Hoya. We love Hoya to bits. They've got some fantastic stuff going on. They've got the best use of virtual reality that I've seen since tanks in 1982. It was absolutely awesome. It shows you how your glasses would actually look looking around a virtual room. It was brilliantly done. We've got top loaders. They're the new glasses that are from them. Muller's got a set of these coming. Mark Opp's got them done already, and he's just waiting to come down, but he's at York Races this weekend. Doing work, I hasten to add.
Work
in inverted commas.
Work.
With customers in inverted commas.
Oh, right.
At York Races. And he's going to bring those down in a couple of weeks and sort us out with those. And I've got some new glasses coming, because I've got a new prescription as well as. So Hoya are fantastic. They helped us out with the Mac Mini Fund as well. And thanks to Monster Munch in the Slack room, because he's chucked us 50 quid towards the Mac Mini Fund. We are really close, really, really close. We've only got one Mac Mini to go, and he's just eaten into 50 quid of it. So there's only 350 quid left to go to get all five Mac Minis. So thanks to those people that have bothered to give us a donation. As soon as we've got them all sorted and all paid for, then we're going to get the plaques made to go on them, and they will go on the wall here, and you will always see your donation and your message to the network that says thank you very much. Do appreciate it. Cheers. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Jeff?
All right, so the last time I was on, I said that my cool thing would be the Lego Ghostbusters car completed.
Which is behind you.
Right here.
I just saw Ghostbusters last night.
And?
It was okay. It was cheesy, fun. It was cool.
That's what I expect out of the movie when I go see it. It's just going to be fun. But the car, this is really well done. I mean,
it is well done.
Yeah, the door's open. Aha, I just popped a side off. It helps if you pull the door, not the side. Yeah, the door's open. And then the back door opens as well.
Just like the original.
And I think they did a great job with the detail up on the top.
Wow.
And you can actually pop the top off. And I'm going to see if I can get the angle right. So that they even gave you a nice detailed dashboard. You have to put a decal on for that dashboard piece to, you know, to actually look like a dashboard. But, you know, it's a lot of fun detail, and it's a really nice build, and it comes with a whole pile of stuff. So you have all the little Ghostbuster minifigures. They did a great job, I think, with the proton packs on the back on their backs.
Mm.
And they have a motorcycle in the movie, so now they've got the motorcycle. And the thing about this motorcycle in the Lego form is that this white piece is actually a really rare piece. But yeah, here it is.
Is it a one? It's a one-off for that kit and nothing else.
No, there's one other kit that has it. So this is the second time this white piece has been used. So that's pretty cool. And the kit. There you go. There's a link for it in the chat room. So it's $60, and it's a really fun build. I really enjoyed it. The one thing that I don't get, and it's not going to show up, I think, here, but on the back axle, they did this thing where they put these clear discs on either side of the axle.
Right.
And, I mean, there's no reason for it at all. It's just pieces that are there, and I have no idea why.
They don't actually mean anything.
Nope, not a thing. But there you go. It was a really fun build.
Okay, fair enough. Mate. How much was it?
It is $60, and I don't know what that is in pounds.
Well, at the moment it's 60 quid.
Ooh.
No, it's not.
Okay, so it's kind of expensive.
It's not far off. We're suffering a bit at the moment in the UK. It has to be said.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, it's not your fault. We were the ones that some morons decided they wanted to leave Europe.
Yeah. Well,
how'd that work out for you? Yeah, pretty poor, actually.
Mm. Yeah, pretty poor.
Moving on. Melissa, have you got a cool thing for us?
Well, Mike, I told you a little bit about my cool thing earlier, but I just posted a link to a Halloween costume because now that I've seen Ghostbusters, I'm thinking maybe I might dress up as Melissa McCarthy's character for Halloween this year.
Are you going to make a proton pack and everything?
So here's my thing, right, with the Ghostbusters
stuff.
That'd
be fun.
There's been loads of, the feminist movement has gone absolutely mental over the fact that there's a female Ghostbusters movie. And I got to say at the start, I was kind of like, okay, we'll see. Well, I'll give it a chance, but maybe. It might not be good. And then I looked at some of the stuff, and the characters are kind of paraphrases of all the original characters, but they're just women. And someone tweeted out the other day, you know, this Ghostbusters for her. And it showed this Ghostbusters movie for her. And they showed a picture of this little girl wearing a proton pack and all that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of like, if Hollywood really thought that much of the girls, why didn't they come up with something interesting, new, fresh, different, not a copy of something else, not a complete paraphrase of the original characters, a completely different set of characters? They don't. They've just remade shit and just badged it as female, and that'll do. And I feel so passionate about that because there's so much going on with the feminist movement, in especially with Twitter, that's actually just rebadged crap. And people aren't thinking about the positive element of it. I'm sorry. Is that fair or not?
I don't know. There seems to be this trend lately. I don't know. We're in our 40s now that we're rehashing these older movies. It seems like there's all these remakes lately. I don't know what's up with that, but it's just fun.
No, I thought, like, so for imagine, like, if you look at the real positive female thing, I thought the Wonder Woman appearing in Batman vs. Superman, brilliant, fantastic. What a great character she was. Okay, there was a lot of incorrect stuff over the banded, you know, the stuff in the 70s with the bangles and the lasso and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's easy to put a positive spin on that and not go back to that bull. And I thought she's a great character. She's going to have a movie, and I think it's going to be fantastic and well done. And that was a real positive female role model, but recasting the Ghostbusters is not. I'm sorry. It's just lazy.
I'm going to jump back into the Batman versus Superman thing since you brought it up. I saw the movie. I saw the Ultimate Edition, so I got to see the scenes that were cut from the theatrical version. Yeah, I know. But by the time the movie was over, I drank a lot because I kind of needed to get through it. But the movie that I wanted to see after seeing that, I wanted to see a Bruce Wayne Diana Prince movie. That would have been interesting.
Well, that might happen yet because Superman's dead, of course. Not that I've given anything away there.
Right. But the thing is, they could have done the Diana Prince Bruce Wayne movie instead of this movie.
Yeah, it was
crap. And I think it would have been so much better.
I agree. I totally agree. I think it would have been a far better platform, far more positive. The Batman versus Superman, there wasn't an awful lot of Batman versus Superman in it, for those that are wondering.
And when they hit the point in the movie where... Can I do a spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler. You have to say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I'm going to turn my headset off. All right, and I've given a pause for everyone to pause or whatever they're playing this on. Okay, so when Batman and Superman are in the middle of their big fight and they're actually coming up on the end of it, and Superman says save Martha, and Batman's like, why'd you say that name? Why'd you say that name? And then he finds out that that Superman's mother is being held prisoner, is going to be killed, and Batman's like, oh, okay, we're friends now, and off he goes to save Superman's mom. I'm like, you know what? I am so done. That was the most shallow, contrived resolution to Batman and Superman being enemies and then becoming allies.
So his question...
It was a your mama moment?
Has Superman's mother's name and Batman's mother's name ever crept out anywhere else before? Has anyone gone, actually, that's not Batman's mother's name?
Batman's mother's name is Martha Wayne.
Is that absolutely right back to the original comics?
In the comics, yeah.
It's been Martha Wayne for as long as I can remember.
It's in the first comic, and Martha's definitely right for Superman because she's in it right from the beginning.
I don't know about Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not contrived. That's real.
Well, I know the name part isn't contrived.
I agree with that.
What was contrived was the way that they resolved their fight. Save Martha. Oh, okay. We're friends now. I'll go save Martha.
I'm just googling Superman's mom. Superman's mom is Lara, actually, but that's Kal-El, Dir-El, Lara El.
Lara is his biological mother.
Is Batman's mom really named Martha? They're all questioning Batman on the net, mate.
I think your new title needs to be Who's Your Mama?
Superman's stepmother's maybe.
I need to read that and come back later.
Okay.
There's a big article on it. Oh, man, there's a huge article on it. Jesus Christ.
There are some people that...
the thing is, we've opened a can of worms here, and I'm going to get a ton of geeks writing in going, actually, don't write
We're trying to figure out who Superman's mom is.
We are speaking from a position of absolutely no intelligence and no knowledge. Superman's do not write in.
Martha Kent.
It is Martha Kent.
Never stopped us before.
They're both named Martha?
Are they both named Martha?
So Martha Kent is Batman's stepmother.
Ah!
Adopted mother on Earth.
Yeah, stepmother. Stepmother.
So she was the
biological
one that
shot. Mother's
no, Lara. She's the one who took him in.
But who was the one that was shot with his dad?
Oh, that's Bruce Wayne's mother.
Which is not Martha. Martha wasn't shot.
Martha Wayne was killed with Thomas Wayne
in the alleyway.
In the alleyway.
And then Martha
with the
Kent.
Candlestick in the library.
No.
But did we ever see a body?
Yes.
We saw a string of pearls.
Hold on a minute.
We're not saying they're the same person. That's not the debate.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Martha Wayne. Okay. So I've just checked it.
All right. Okay. Martha Wayne, Nee Kane, is a fictional character in Batman series of comic books published by DC Comics. So he's Bruce Wayne's mother and Dr. Thomas Wayne's wife. But she's not his maternal mother.
I don't know.
No, she is Bruce Wayne's
maternal mother.
Yes.
So that was
she gave birth to Bruce Wayne.
So if they're both called Martha, that's either someone at DC Comics going, do you know what, I've got a thing for Marthas, or my mum's called Martha, so I'm going to name them both Martha, or someone actually wrote down in about 1936, one day someone's going to tie these two together and go, do you know what, Martha's not going to die tonight. Mm-mm. Or I got that wrong.
I think it was just chance.
Yeah, push
because it's completely different teams, and yeah. All right, then. And someone finally was like, "Hey, we can weave these together, in a mediocre movie."
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
What was the graphic that went around recently? That Daisy's mom is Jesse's girl, and her number was 867-5309.
Okay, that's funny.
So Mullis passed me this whole iPad because he thinks it's that important that Martha Wayne and Martha Kent are not the same person. I kind of figured that.
Yes, well, yeah, we know
I'm
that.
Just saying that.
Yeah, okay, but we're clearing up those people who are going to write in. Thanks, mate. Put that in the link. Don't click Mullis' links. We're gonna clear up the fact that Martha and Martha are the same person because we know they're not. They're a different person. But it's just weird that Martha's name is Martha's name and Martha's name is not Martha's name. Yeah.
Where did Martha come from, I wonder?
Do you remember last week I told you to pick that my cool thing was Noisebreakers? Did you listen to that? Noisebreaker.com. It's from a firm called MTech Laboratories. They're a small firm who work out of Shrewsbury, and they do industrial ear protection. And I can't show the industrial. I can show you the box. There's the box. But I can't show you the actual ear protection because the ear protection is green. So it's invisible on a green screen. There we go.
Awesome.
There's my invisible noise protection. But they do some fantastic noise protection. I had some noise protection from them. And I wrote to them and said, I've got some fantastic Bose Sport earphones, and I want them mounted into some molded ear things so that I'm closed off from the sound and stuff like that. And they went, that's no problem. We can do that. So I sent them off to them. And they sent me back some stuff. And actually, they worked reasonably well. And that's the Bose mounted in the foams that they gave me that are moulded to my ears, because they kept my mould in my ears for 7 years. And I said, well, the thing that worries me is the fact that they're going to snap off because they're coming out every time I link them. And they said, that's not a problem. We want you to be happy. We want you to have what you want. So I've paid for 3 sets of these things. And they said, let's re-engineer them. So I went back out to see them. They remoulded my ear. And they came back and said, what do you think to this? How good does that look? Yeah. Those of you that are waiting on ketchup, that is a properly mounted Bose earphone inside a cup that is never going to come out of my ears and looks absolutely stunning. Look at the difference between the two. And here's the thing. This is what's important to me, is the fact that I went back to MX saying, no, that's not exactly what I was thinking. I'm a bit worried about quality here. And they go, oh, yeah, actually, that's a good point. We're really about quality. We don't want to go to and fro and you coming back to us. They said, we want to make this right. And they've just done it. That's it. There's no more charge or anything like that. They have just done it for me and made sure that my Bose earphones are mounted absolutely perfectly on a mount. And they look absolutely gorgeous. I've seen them. They look stunning. So
this could help me stay married for another 12 years.
Really? You think so? So one night at the movies.
Can you sleep with these?
Oh, yeah, you definitely can. No question. Yeah. The ears, all you got to do is get yourself, can you swap that for a cold one? I've had that on my desk for ages. All you got to do is get your ears molded at a local technician, send the molds through to them, they will make them and they'll send them back to you. So, and they'll send them to America if that's what you want. No question. No problem at all. Noisebreaker.com. But all you got to say to them is, I've got some earphones. I want my earphones to be put into some noise breakers so that they can work embedded in. And providing you can either send them the earphones so that they can do it, or you can tell them what they are and they can get hold of them and they can do it themselves, then they will send you back earphones that are set exactly for your ears. None of this stuff that, like, well, it's nice, but it doesn't really kind of fit, which is the problem I had with my Bose. They were good, but they didn't fit my ears properly. But now they are absolutely stunning. They fit right into my ears, and they are perfect.
I wonder if you could do something like this with Sugru. You guys ever played with Sugru?
Yeah, as long as you don't want to pull your eardrum out on it afterwards.
Yeah, right.
And you've got to get the canal hole.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the Sugru thing.
Yeah, stick a pin in. into the Sugru and then shove it in your ear. I'm joking, by the way. Anyone listening, don't do that. Jesus. It's easier to just get your ears molded at a local audiometrist and get it sent over to them, and they'll do it for you. £80, that's all they've charged me, and they've fixed them to the way that I want for £80.
That's really cool.
You cannot.
Have you tried sleeping with them in? Is it comfortable?
No, because I don't listen to music when I sleep. I've put these in before, the invisible ones. I've put these in my ears and slept in hotel rooms before when I've been next to the elevator, and they work an absolute treat. Because the thing that's beautiful about those is they let speech through, but they don't let sudden noises through. They've got a little diaphragm that pops and stops sudden noises.
Oh, nice.
They're really good.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's my cool thing. Noisebreaker.com. Ring up Fiona and say that Ewan sent you from British Tech Network, and you won't get a discount, I don't think, but you'll get great service either way. So, where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
You can find me over at macobserver.com, and you can find me at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I write about the stuff I see people do in coffee shops, on pretty much every podcast there is, and then on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut.
Excellent. Melissa, where can we get a hold of you? Hangover.com?
Yeah, along with that, you'll find the Mac Mommy. Just search for the Mac Mommy, T-H-E-M-A-C-M-O-M-M-Y. And I'm starting to become a serial podcaster myself.
Good
so
on you,
you'll
mate.
Find me on a couple of different podcasts as well.
Excellent. You're going to become
that's awesome.
Don't become like the Jeff Gamut and just put yourself about everywhere, because it diminishes your stature.
Oh, does it now? Okay.
Oh, yeah, no.
Jeff, I just like sharing the love.
Jeff's reputation's crap, because he just goes on anything. You've got to pick and choose. You've got to be like me. Wait till the 1 in 5 years when someone invites you actually on a podcast, and then actually go on it. And then just go back into obscurity afterwards. That's the way I do it.
That works.
Thanks, Bart. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. The Bash starts tomorrow. Yes, the curry starts tomorrow night. We have the Mac Show here in the studio at 1 o'clock. The studio's open. 3:30, the Mac Show, 3 o'clock, the Mac Show starts. And then 5 o'clock, we're all going to pile over the curry house and start drinking beer. And then the curry's tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, it's going to be the Big Bash itself, the whole thing, down at the Link in Water Orton. If you want to come, you can still get tickets. It's okay. Send in your requests, and we'll get them out to you before you actually come to the event. And then on Sunday, it's all around my house for bacon sandwiches in the morning, and get rid of your hangover, because it will be a big one.
And you're not going to be handing out little baggies to put cell phones in, are you?
No, if you want to video the event, you go for it. We'll see you next week. I think we'll go back to Friday, though, next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure. Thank you for turning up based on the fact there's only two of you.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, it was shaping up to be interesting show before you got here, Melissa.
Are you actually
still in
bed? It
was interesting before I got there, and then I ruined it all.
Have you done like a Kim Kardashian? Kardashian? Are you actually still in bed?
No, but I'm not far from it.
It wouldn't take much for me to get me back into bed.
I'm not wearing pants. I didn't know.
Hey, that's you and Jeff. A pantless panel.
Yeah, so Ewan, do you have pants on?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately, because I'm a traditionalist. My daughter's here. My mother's here.
Oh, right. Yeah. So.